Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Today on the radio show, let's see. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then... because it is Thursday, we got Righter Than Right trivia. The first Righter Than Right trivia of 2025. Jeffrey had a rousing 2024, demolishing pretty much all comers, except for the few times when I had to fill in for Kevin Cerrito and specifically designed my questions to defeat Jeffrey.
Uh-huh. Respect. You have a brand.
But other than that, he was absolutely practically unbeatable. The good news is you don't actually have to be Righter Than Right. You just have to be honorable, and you will win our fabulous prize. So this is going to be in the second hour. Kevin Cerrito is going to join us. He's going to preside over the game. I'm going to try to keep score as best I can and make the occasional snarky comment. Otherwise, I will remove
chime
myself.
Chime in if there's one that you knew.
If there's one that I happen to know the answer and that no one else does, yep. I'll make sure people know that. But otherwise, I'll remain quiet. There will be, as there always is, a fabulous prize package. What is it, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we have two tickets to go see Sam Morrill, comedian. He will be at Minglewood, and he will be at Minglewood on February the 16th, 2024. He was on the Netflix Roast of 2024, the We Might Be Drunk podcast. Great comedian.
I have confession. Never been to Minglewood, ever. Anything. That's not true. I went there to see the mayor. The mayoral, Paul Young had his victory party at Minglewood, but I've never been to a show at Minglewood. Maybe that's true. I don't go to a lot of shows. Maybe that.
I think it's more because it's a concert venue, and it's also a concert venue that's gonna
not
be,
the type. I'd be more apt.
You're
to
not
go,
gonna go see James Taylor
see,
at Minglewood,
right? Exactly. Right. I go to the Orpheum or correct. Mud Island back when there was a Mud Island, etc. But anyway, comedian
Sam Morrill.
Did you see, by the way, we occasionally have prizes from Landers Center.
Yes.
Right?
I did see the news this week.
Turmoil down there. What the hell is going on? It's like two people have been whacked.
It's like he's been there like 14 years. It's just like all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like,
but then the CFO also whacked. So when someone is.
Yeah, whenever you hear that story, I'm like, okay, we're about to get another story. When the CFO and the
well, anyway, anyone knows what's happening at the Landers Center, just hit me up on Twitter or X, and
even if you want to recklessly speculate,
but if you actually have good information that we could report in the daily,
that'd be
event,
better.
That's
but
fine too, or reckless speculation, that's for the radio. Anyway, that's the prize today on the Jeff Calkins Show, Righter Than Right trivia. We'll do that in the second hour, along with Chris Harrington will join us. Today is a big day for all kinds of reasons. One is. Jimmy Carter. It feels like this funeral's been going on multiple days.
Yeah, I kind of
lost track. But today is the eulogies.
Yes, right? Today's the state
today
funeral.
Today is this. Yeah. Well, I mean, Fishman actually, and maybe he'll ask. Maybe we'll ask him about this when he joins us next week. He went to see him lying in state yesterday at the Capitol. He strode past the, now I did ask Fishman, I said, it's not an open casket, is it? And, it was not. And he recoiled at the very idea. He thought it was preposterous that and so I looked into it. Do you know who the last president who was in an open casket funeral was?
The last open casket president.
It's been a while.
So obviously not JFK.
No, but one of the interesting things is I was reading about this. His brother wanted that to be open casket.
Yeah.
His brother for some
because he wanted it to be a reminder. Like he
or
wanted
something.
My freshman year of college, I had to do like I had a big like a semester project on RFK, and so he wanted it to be Like, it was supposed to be like a show of strength of, like, look what they did to him. This should make your blood boil. That's
Jackie
why he won.
Did not want it.
Well, obviously.
And
yeah, she won.
And the wounds were such that
correct.
Whatever.
It was
here's
gonna be.
One of the stunning things, though. Lincoln shot in the head at a theater, open casket.
Yeah, well, come on, it's the back of that.
Not only that, open casket, and he was hauled all over the country in a train and displayed for the world to see. At a time, this is just it, evidently embalming. We got a lot better at embalming, which wasn't. I mean, obviously, like the Egyptians have been embalming a long right. time, so there's been
thousands
a
of years.
Long history of embalming, but evidently. Whatever, we it took us a while to catch up, or modern embalming, or whatever else. So we got a lot better at embalming in the Civil War because people needed Johnny, either Reb or Yankee, shipped back home. And so
we were dying at a lot higher rate.
We were dying at a higher rate. We had a lot more practice, sadly. Too soon? I don't know. Maybe too soon. Anyway, so Lincoln was embalmed in open casket all over the country. But the last one, Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah, I would
you
never
can find you can find photos of dead Calvin Coolidge lying in state. There are I've never quite understood who does it and who doesn't. Like Fishman, obviously he recoiled at the idea. He thinks it's preposterous that you would have a. But I think generally he would think it's preposterous. He thought that you don't want to see Jimmy Carter all waxing and whatever else. But
I mean, in fairness, how much worse would it be to see Jimmy Carter today than it has
so
the last,
yeah,
like
true.
The last? I mean, is he going to look any different?
You know what this is like,
Jeff? There were reportedly there were days that he didn't wake up.
It's like when
that is being dead.
It's like when you wanted Willie Mays to retire. You want to remember him as the person in the peak of health. And in fairness, when I think of Jimmy Carter, good or ill, I don't think of Jimmy Carter of certainly the dead Jimmy Carter. I don't think of Jimmy Carter over the last 5 years or 10 years or however since he's certainly the last few years when he's been incredibly infirm and whatever else. He's 100 years old that you can nod off when you're 100 years old. And you can have days. I have days I don't want to wake up, much less. And I'm not, well, bearing down on 100, but not really close. And but I remember the Jimmy Carter of either the Jimmy Carter of his presidency, or I sort of remember the Habitat for Humanity Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, that's you know, the Jimmy Carter.
That's, I sort of remember that guy. Anyway, he is being laid to rest today, or at least the formal ceremonies are happening today.
The state funeral.
Yeah. Secondly, we've got the fires continuing, horrific fires in L.A. I don't know. Are you continuing to be in touch with friends there?
So the group chat's popping off. I mean, this is what I struggle with. There are lots of devastating fires out there. It seems to me that why this one is getting so much attention is because this one has like directly hit Pacific Palisades where tons of celebrities live.
I think it's a lot of reasons. I don't think we actually have major American cities on fire.
Yeah.
That is not... celebrities are not. If this were happening... If you had video of downtown Chicago burning and oh my god there goes the egg
yeah,
right?
the bean which
if
is like literally the, I think our most is, overrated tourist attraction
fine, but
of
it's
all
sort
time.
Of the equivalent of the Hollywood sign right so if you had
sure.
it, if you had the photos or images of the bean we don't see major American cities on fire we see that oh look half of Montana is burning. Oh, giant forest in Oregon is burning.
Right.
Here we see massive, an actual city on fire, which is, let's be honest, I think new to us. It is true there is also a celebrity element to it. Among the people who have lost their homes, Billy Crystal, Paris London, James Woods, Anthony Hopkins, John Goodman, Miles Teller, among the others. There's also been sports postponements.
Well, also my fraternity brothers, they had a house like their rental house is burned to the ground from college.
Yeah, I mean I gather Pacific Palisades is it's not Malibu, but it's really nice, right? The average house is $2 million.
Pacific Palisades is Collierville, Malibu's Germantown,
right?
Like,
on a hill,
and it's the same. Like they're right next to each other. That's where Riviera is.
Kings and Calgary oddly, ironically, is this irony? Is this irony, Jeffrey? The Flames postponed. That's an NHL game, was postponed. So I continue to be gripped.
My wife notified me that one of the soaps apparently had a fire storyline coming up down the docket, and they had to step out in front of that one.
They had to can that one.
Yeah.
Well, and a bunch of productions of a bunch of shows has been put on hold. Anyway, thinking of those folks today. And then, of course, closer to home, we have Snowmageddon bearing down upon us. And I have a prediction, Jeffrey.
All right.
This is, by the way, based on nothing. So this is
a gut take.
This is purely a gut take. The news is, by the way, that the storm is supposed to hit tonight. And you should be able to go to the Grizzlies game. They play the Rockets tonight. This is not going to be a problem. It's going to hit later tonight and into tomorrow, right? And the predictions are 3 to 5 inches. Me, bringing my vast experience as a meteorologist to bear, I've decided it's going to be much ado about nothing. In particular, I think it's going to be too warm tomorrow. If you just look at the temperatures, it's between 30 and 35.
Yeah, but I mean, what if they cancel school tonight?
And so, there could be a disaster from your personal perspective.
Yeah.
I'm saying, do I expect giant snowdrifts
tomorrow? You think we're going to easily be able to get into work tomorrow?
I think we're going to easily get into work tomorrow.
Right.
And more to the point, I think at noon tomorrow, we will be driving around Memphis effortlessly. Now, I want to emphasize, this is based on no science and nothing. It's just I want to go out on a limb with a crazy-ass prediction here. Maybe there's no danger that people are going to underreact, right? They already have overreacted. So I'm not like I'm not telling people to go out there and do reckless, crazy things. But I do think you can go to the Grizzlies game tonight without much fear, don't you think?
Yeah, because I thought it's not so, I thought
not
you just
afterwards.
It's overnight.
Late. Yeah, it's overnight. So there you go. We got a lot of things going on here in the city, including the Grizzlies tonight. We did have injury news, Jeffrey. The good news and the bad news. So the Grizzlies play Houston, and Houston is a 1.5-point favorite, I believe, last I checked. And this is a fun tilt because Houston, one of the surprising teams in the league this year, half game up on the Grizzlies. Houston is 24-12. The Grizzlies are 24-13. That means Houston is a half game up on the Grizzlies. And the injury news as it follows. Ja was upgraded to questionable.
By the way, the Grizzlies are a 1.5-point favorite.
I'm sorry. Grizzlies are 1.5-point favorites. Ja upgraded to questionable. Santi also questionable. Dez also questionable. So that's all good, right?
So were we resting up during the Mavericks to get ready for the Rockets?
The problem is Jaren also questionable. Jaren, who had not...
Mind games, come on.
Who had not... So we got Ja questionable, Santi questionable, Dez questionable, Jaren questionable. Tari Eason for the Rockets is out. Jabari Smith has been out. But you know what else we have? We have the return of Steven Adams.
Indeed.
What do you make of... How will Steven Adams... There won't be any kind of video.
I don't think we're getting a video.
Nor should there be, right? Right. Honestly, partly because you felt like...
I mean,
like
if they want to do a video of just showing him picking up that Bulls guy over and over again, that's fine.
It kind of ended badly. But I don't sense that has trickled into the fan base, right?
I mean, it ended badly definitely between the organization and him.
Because they were counting on him last year.
Right, but,
like
but I also
honest,
think
right?
this is kind of the other... This is the other thing about the way that they operate, because they operate secretly and keep it internally. That didn't get messy publicly.
No, I
don't think the fan base...
And I think, don't people think about...
I think the general view of Steven Adams is
when
positive.
Steven Adams checks in tonight...
He'll get a round of applause.
Right?
Yeah, he'll get a round of applause.
Okay, right now, I'll ask you this question. Ask a Grizzly fan, who do you like better, Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks?
Steven Adams.
Let's do a Jeff Calkins show poll.
Because you got to remember, Dylan, since going to the Rockets, like, he's had games
Grizz
where he's punching Ja in the nuts.
Who do you like better? What's the question? The question is, I think it's who do you like better? Grizz fans, who do you like better? Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams. Is it going to be overwhelming, Stephen Adams?
Just, it's whom? Come on.
Whom? Sorry. Whom do you like better? Is it going to be overwhelming? Do you think it's going to be 80%?
I think this, 80 might be, but I think it's going to be, yeah.
Overwhelming.
This is not going to be a back and forth battle.
The funny thing here, though, is that, let's be honest, Dylan Brooks was more important to the Grizzlies. He did more for the Grizzlies.
Way more successful.
More successful for the Grizzlies. And although it ended badly because of the whole LeBron thing, it really ended badly. And in that last press conference, when he already knew he was going, he was sort of lighting things on fire. I'm sorry, that's probably a bad metaphor today.
Yeah, we're not in LA, come on.
He fought to the end, whereas Stephen Adams tapped out.
Yeah, but you also have to
people always like Stephen Adams. Yeah, all along they liked him. There was never a downside to Stephen Adams.
But it's not just their timeline doesn't add up because we've played Dylan a lot and Dylan has been another instigator. He low blowed Ja in a game. And on top of that, Dylan has continued to have more ass hattery. And so it's been the classic where there's been a lot of people that like me that were kind of Dylan Brooks agnostic. Acknowledging both camps kind of had a point in what they were making. But it is so nice to sit there and go, he's somebody else's problem.
That is certainly true. Is the question, who do you like better or who is the greater Grizz? Because if you have the second...
The other question could be, who gets a better reception?
Oh, well, now it's different. Stephen,
I think you're
going to
get the same answer no matter what.
I think if you asked who was the greater Grizz, you might get Dylan. People might be honest there. But if you ask who do you like better...
So is that what you... Do you want to switch to that?
I want to ask who they like better. I want to see how overwhelmingly Stephen Adams is going to win this.
Dylan's listening.
Who do you prefer? Stephen Adams or...
So that's what... You want the final question. Who do you prefer?
Sure, let's just do that. Who do you prefer, Grizz fans? Who do you prefer? Whom? Is it whom?
What's
the rule on whom?
Whom is the object form? So
yeah, that means nothing to me. Explain to me how.
So because it's a question, it's essentially backwards. The construction of the sentence is backwards. The subject is you. You do like what? You do like whom? Whom is the objective case?
Objective case means nothing.
It's the receptor. It's the receptor of the verb.
Oh, my God. That doesn't help us at all.
Well, you went to Harvard.
That's true. But that
my
doesn't
school's
help
on
me.
Fire.
I got no
idea. For the second time.
All right. Here's what we're going to do.
This year.
We're going to take a break. Jeffrey's going to fire up this question, and then we will come back and we'll talk about all manner of things, including we also have a playoff game tonight. Jeffrey, we got a playoff game tonight. I have an important question about the playoff game, and we'll give you the early results of the poll. And
it's live.
And then Chris Harrington, and then Writer of the Night Trivia. It is Thursday on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. The off the top of our head poll is live. Whom do you prefer? Because it's the target of the subjective sense of the
objective
receptor.
Case.
And
nothing you said there was correct.
And it is absolutely the receptor
writer.
Of the subjunctive. And so it's whom do you prefer? And that makes it easy for all of us. Stephen Adams or Dylan Brooks? I have voted. I've retweeted. And what is the current tabulation, Jeffrey? See if you're as good at math as you are at grammar.
Well, this is just reading. Currently, with 55 votes, so we're still early in the process. Stephen Adams, 94.5% of the votes. Dylan Brooks, only 5.5%.
Oh, my God. That is overwhelming. Now, let's see if this changes things. Jarvis weighs in. We appreciate Jarvis being a listener. Hey, Jeff, love Stephen Adams, but he just tweeted a pic of himself and SGA basically saying he's the best he's ever played with, not Ja. And then Jarvis includes... I think it's 17 different question marks. So there you go.
Okay,
treachery. I don't actually see it.
I think Jarvo might have gotten duped.
You think so?
Yeah, because
I don't see it on the Stephen Adams feed.
Stephen Adams feed.
But let's go with it.
Is it on Instagram? Maybe it's on Instagram.
Maybe. I don't see it on his feed.
Because I'm on his Twitter page right now.
I didn't see it either. But let's be honest.
Was it deleted, maybe?
Let me ask you this. If he had said that, is that correct grammar? Had he said that? If he had said that.
Yes.
Would that be so bad? Honestly, right now, SGA is a favorite to win the MVP, I think.
Well, didn't he finish second last year in the MVP?
I hate to say it. In the mind of most NBA observers, NBA players, etc., SGA right now outranks Ja. He does.
Yes.
It's not even controversial.
Yes.
So I can't hate him if he had said it.
I'm not seeing
it. And I don't see that he said it. But if he had said it, I still don't consider that to be the slightest bit controversial. And you know what I expect from Stephen Adams, actually? Candor. Right?
Yeah, agreed.
And
Mike,
I don't need you to suck up to Memphis fans by saying that Ja is better than SGA and protecting Ja. Let Ja go out and prove that he's better than SGA. That would be great. I'm not certain that in a seven-game series, he wouldn't outplay SGA. But I got to see it.
Agreed.
I
got to
see him on the court. So there you go. By the way, terrific game last night. And I was able to
high shot making.
I was able to catch most of the site. That is what's striking. One of the things that was amazing is I went to I was at a men's group meeting. I'm in this men's group. I'm not much of a joiner. But at Idlewild Presbyterian Church,
Is this the Onion Rings crew?
No, that's a different group.
Okay.
I've only been with them once. They go see movies, and then they rank them on the onion ring scale. How many onion rings? It started as men in middle age. And I swear to God, I joined it 20 years ago.
Okay.
So
You're still there.
I don't know where middle age goes from. But now, we used to meet at the church. And now we meet at Panera, and it's sort of like an AA meeting without the alcohol problems, right? Like you just go around
Jeff.
And talk about life.
I'm old.
You just go around and talk about life, right? And you say, I have my problems with my, work or my kids or whatever. Well, this is what's happening. This is what's good in my life. This is whatever. And I want to say this.
The support curve.
Panera sucks.
Oh, yeah. I've been there for.
Panera. I don't think it sucks. Panera used to be pretty good. It was a little plastic, right? It was slightly plasticky, but even the best Panera, it's sort of a little overpriced kind of whatever sandwiches and coffee and whatnot, but nice. Nice space to spread out. Like there's plenty of room in a Panera. There's a lot of variety. I didn't used to think it sucks. The service at a Panera now, particularly the one near, right across from where the Oak Court Mall, if it's still called the Oak Court Mall, used to be, just disastrous. Just awful. Just the worst. Terrible. Anyway, I was driving home from that.
Yeah, I got a theory.
What?
They took some private equity money.
Panera generally did?
Oh, yeah.
Panera did?
Yep. Parent company, JAB Holding Company. There we go.
So they strip it down.
Yep. I'm worried about Jersey Mike's next.
And I was listening, and these are the guys on the national broadcast saying, well, I'm enjoying this game tonight, but I just don't see how these teams can captivate America. And I guess the question is, why the hell not? It was an absolutely gripping game. One team had won 10 in a row. That was Cleveland. One team had run -15 in a row. That's Oklahoma City. And you have two tremendously historically great teams, and they are playing head-to-head. And they put together a game, incredible shot making, 129 to 122. It was interesting straight till the end. It was everything you could have wanted. So is it literally the only reason that they can't, quote unquote, captivate America? If you had put them in Knicks jerseys and Lakers jerseys, would we be saying the same thing? Is that literally the only difference? Or is it that there is something about Jared Allen or Evan Mobley or Donovan Mitchell, or SGA that is not captivating?
I think it's either one of two things. It's the first in which put them in Knicks jerseys or Lakers jerseys, however you want to slice it, and, they captivate America. Or what it's saying is, there's no star power.
Well, there is not star power. If star power simply means LeBron, Steph, there's no star power. Let me ask you this. Do the Knicks right now have star power? In other words, how many stars are star power?
I mean, I think this is the interesting question. Like, when if we use the SGA example.
Because you've got Donovan Mitchell and SGA. Like, those guys are not.
SGA is Canadian.
They are not LeBron and Steph.
Yeah. But the Celtics have the same problem. Tatum is a unquestionable and
it's
great player.
It's crazy that this league requires, for it to be quote-unquote interesting or captivating, it requires you to be in a massive city or have one of the two biggest stars in the world.
See, I'm not sure that that's true. What I do think is true is that we don't care about NBA basketball in January.
Yes, but we did on Christmas Day because it was Steph against LeBron.
We didn't, though.
No, we did. Ratings were off the for that game.
That one game, because it was after
that's
football.
That's fine, but ratings were great for that game.
And they were great in comparison to NBA games.
That's fine, but
we don't.
I'm only talking about captivating in comparison
to
NBA games.
Jeff, my point is, like, they were still getting trounced by college football
games. That's fine. That's fine. No one says that LeBron and Steph don't captivate, though.
Right.
That's not something you say. They don't say, to the extent. I'm talking about within the world of the NBA.
Yes.
Why can't Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell and SGA and Oklahoma City captivate in the same way, with the same football limitations, of course, but in the same way that LeBron and Steph do?
Because of history. Like, we don't have, they're great players, but we've seen lots of great players that
have. But it's funny, though. Like, we don't need, for tonight's playoff games, we don't need, like, who the hell. No one is going to tune in to see a single player tonight.
Not big on tight ends.
Yeah, Tyler Warren. Yeah. No one is going to tune in to see Tyler Warren.
Sure.
And no one cares that State College is small,
mm-hmm,
or whatever.
Well,
else.
The runway. You know, they got to expand
the
runway. I just
think the double standard that we put the NBA up against, and because that was a terrific game last night, and I kind of agree. Like, if it had Steph on it, and if it had been the exact same game and Steph or LeBron had been on it, or it had been New York, and then we would not know. I would not have heard those people say, I don't think these teams are going to captivate America. Okay, in terms of tonight's game, here what I would ask you.
All right.
Notre Dame favored by 1.5. Is that right?
Yes. Let me double check. That was as of yesterday. Notre Dame -1 right now.
Is Notre Dame likeable?
Yes. I think this Notre Dame is actually likeable. Because I think Freeman is incredibly charismatic.
So Notre Dame used to be the most hated team in college football.
Probably overexposed would be the word, but yeah.
And I think they were hated for a bunch of reasons. Well, first of all, once upon a time, they were hated because America hated Catholics. So literally, that was in the bad old days when America hated Catholics, then they were hated. And let's be honest, the story is that Notre Dame was not invited to join the Big Ten because it was a Catholic institution. So what they did is they went out and they made their own history and they had their own TV network. Then
and they have held a grudge ever since.
When they became hated, I think it was for several reasons. I think the biggest reason is it's a little bit like why the SEC is sort of hated now is because they were the biggest bullies, they were overexposed, and they had their own TV network.
Yep.
Right?
And they were the richest.
And so it was envy. It was envy, it was boredom, it was overexposure, it was a combination of things, right? Secondly, you had this whole superiority complex.
Mm-hmm.
Our football players are actually students, right?
Student-athletes, of course.
Student-athletes, like whatever else. And then thirdly,
by the way, they hammered that in the Sugar Bowl. Riley Leonard, don't ever let you tell these aren't student athletes. He had three finals.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
I was like, yuck.
And then thirdly, you had, and I think this added to it, like most recently, Brian Kelly, not a likable guy.
100%.
Right?
LSU's going through this right now.
Right. Just not a likable guy. And so you had the TV network, you had the holier than thou. And you had a coach who was basically everyone hated.
Yep.
In fact, probably even at Notre Dame.
Yep.
Right? Like a lot of people hated. And so
let's just say this. I imagine there are a lot of Notre Dame people that are really glad that Marcus Freeman is successful.
100%.
It's like, oh, God, this is so
much now fun. You have the TV stuff. Yes, now everyone's on all the time. So it's not just Notre Dame that's on all the time. It feels like everyone's all the time. It doesn't feel as special,
yeah,
right?
Agreed.
And so the everyone's overexposed. Everyone's all the time. Yes, they have their own network, but they don't actually feel like they have a leg up now on the Big Ten or the SEC in terms of any of that. So I think that has gone away. The holier-than-thou stuff, let's be honest, it's a little harder to say. You're right, they did in the Sugar Bowl. They made that point still. But when you're getting transfers who are just coming in from other places, it's a little hard to say you're exceptional.
And when you're just doing the same thing everybody else
is doing. You're just doing the same thing everybody else is doing.
So, Coach K ran into the same problem. When Coach K was trying
to... It's a little harder to say Duke is different. We only take four-year players
until you start losing.
You start taking one-year players. Yeah. Right, exactly. So,
Kyrie was different.
And then... I think the head coach is incredibly likable. Don't you think Freeman's incredibly
very
likable?
Charismatic,
likable. You know, he was handed a quote-unquote bad situation or whatever else. He wasn't really, but...
Was he?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
He was handed a team that was a game away from the playoffs.
Yes. And so, and he's an incredible... By contrast to his predecessor, certainly an incredibly likable guy.
Yes.
I think America is rooting for Notre Dame tonight.
Well, I think there's also the other things. James Franklin's not a likable guy.
It is interesting.
He covered up rape.
What?
He tried to cover up rape.
He covered up...
He tried to cover up rape at
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
Yes. Oh, no, he did. Yes, he did. And he feels like he's always making excuses for himself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We do have history in the making, as we have two African-American coaches. One will advance to the championship. Who's going to win and who needs it more? The institution, the coach, however.
Yeah.
Let's go with that one first. Which program needs it more?
I think Penn State needs it more.
Now, the argument for Notre Dame would be Notre Dame needs it because they have in playoffs been total frauds, right? In the playoffs, they've gotten their head handed to them, right? And so they need to prove that they are not the team that is heretofore gotten blown out in the playoffs, that gets in based purely on reputation because they're Notre Dame, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Penn State.
Penn State hasn't even been there.
Penn State hasn't even been.
And, like, this is also, if you're James Franklin, like, sometimes this is the classic, the schedule and the bracket works out in your favor. By being the sixth seed, you've had an incredibly light path to get here. And sometimes it's just about striking when the iron's hot, taking advantage of it, and it's like, if you get to the national championship game, like, they can't use all that against you. Like, the problem that he's going to have right now is, yes, they are in the Final Four, if you will.
Oh, no,
but we're all just going, they beat Boise and SMU.
There's 100%. So they have to beat Notre Dame. And they are underdogs, slight underdogs. They have lost the last 10 games in which they are underdogs. They do not have a great history of overachieving.
I think 9 of those 10 are against Ohio State and Michigan.
Who do you like? Or whom? Which is the subjective target of the receptor here?
I think I like Penn State.
I think I do too.
If Abdul Carter is...
Abdul Carter is their game-wrecking defensive end.
He is so good at football.
And he is a game-time decision. I couldn't figure out what game-time decision means. Does it mean we're trying to hide the fact that he's going to play because we want to surprise you? Or does it mean we're going to try to hide the fact that he doesn't play, isn't going to play because we don't want you to take advantage?
So have we figured out, is it a hammy? What is the actual injury? Because your question actually can be two different questions. Oftentimes, if it's not a soft tissue muscle, so if it is indeed a hamstring, game time decision to me is you're hiding something. Now, if it's sprained ankle, if it's some type of contusion, oftentimes what game time decision means is we're going to shoot it up and see how he feels in warmups.
I will tell you, the official injury is upper body.
Okay, so if this is a shoulder, for instance.
Could be a shoulder.
So if this is a shoulder, what game time decision means...
Is a sports
means,
hernia an upper or lower body? Or that's a mid-body.
I think when I hear hernia, I think...
Lower body.
I think lower body.
So you think it's your shoulder.
So, like, let's say it is indeed shoulder. To me, what game time decision means is we're going to shoot it up and see how he does in warm-ups.
Okay. So how do you analyze this? How do you analyze this game?
I just look at him...
Who's the better quarterback?
It's like, in what context? Are we talking about as a prospect, as a as a...
Who is more likely to play well tonight in the semifinals?
Drew Aller can beat you in ways that Riley Leonard cannot. Riley Leonard is a phenomenal runner. He's a phenomenal leader. He's very tough.
Drew Aller is a much better thrower.
The problem that Riley Leonard is going to go up against is the problem that Georgia presented, which is, let's see you throw the ball, big boy. And because Georgia was so incompetent on offense, because Notre Dame's got a great defense, but to me, Penn State's healthier on offense than Georgia was. And more importantly, Penn State's going to be able to run the ball. That was the other problem that Georgia had. Like, Georgia just could not run the ball at all. And I'm not saying Penn State's going to run it up and down the field on Notre Dame, but they're going to have more success than Georgia had running the ball.
And they can do more things.
Correct.
And let's be honest. We joked about whether you would tune in to watch a particular player tonight. If you're asking me, like, who are the best players on the field, Tyler Warren may well be. Like, Abdul Carter is the highest draft pick on the field tonight. He's going to go top three, probably, in the NFL draft, if he plays tonight. But Tyler Warren is a...
I'm going to say top five just because I'm leaving room for quarterback weirdness.
For quarterback weirdness. But Tyler Warren is a difference maker.
Yes.
And so I think I go Penn State. If you get Penn State, and then I hate to say it, we're expecting Ohio State, how anticlimactic does this college football playoff become? You're going to get Ohio State, Penn State as your national championship game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to talk yourself into it, like, Penn State was... what, 2 yards away, 3 yards away from...
It was at Happy Valley.
It was in Happy Valley. It's like, now, do I think that game script's going to happen again? No, but like we can talk ourselves into it. But I also think that there will definitely be like a Southern like silent protest. Like the SEC fans are going to like tune out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Other things that unfolded last night, I was kind of surprised by this. Ole Miss, and this is good for Memphis basketball, Ole Miss beats Arkansas 76-66, really on the road. It was at Arkansas, handily done. And Arkansas and John Calipari, 0-2 in conference. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, so like you, I too was surprised. Spirit full disclosure, I had a wager on the Hogs. And I was also surprised because the game started out very similarly to the Memphis Ole Miss game with Arkansas punching Ole Miss in the mouth. But the difference was Arkansas in the second half was not able to maintain.
They can't guard.
No. And they're just, like, I know this is not shocking anyone that's watched college basketball, but John Calipari team's just not a great shooting team. And once Ole Miss kind of adjusted to the little slip move that they were using with their bigs and they started defending that in the second half, and then Ole Miss hit shots in the second half. That's the other part of it. I thought that was a really good win for Ole Miss.
Really good win for Ole Miss. Obviously helps Memphis. UConn did lose last night to Villanova.
They worked hard.
Well, Caravan goes to the line and misses two free throws. Do you have a wager on that one?
I can
imagine that. Did you?
Oh, the puppies, baby. I was getting plus money.
That one would have been painful because
they had like four chances to win the game.
Caravan goes to the line and misses two free throws with 3 seconds left.
Yeah.
So that could not.
I want his NIL check taken back.
That could not have been particularly fun for anyone who was foolish enough to wager on that one. Did you see, by the way, that FanDuel, who we've done spots for here, FanDuel, you know how they offer guidance? They offer guidance is the way that it is phrased. The company offers guidance. They've offered guidance warning that profits will be lower because bettors had a great football season.
Oh, yeah. The NFL.
NFL bettors had a great football season, which has, and I hate to say it, I don't mind seeing this, cut into FanDuel's profits a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's always nice to see when everyone else wins. But
the little guys out there winning.
But it actually makes sense because if you just think about the NFL.
Why is it? What was it about the NFL this season?
We had good teams and really bad teams. And so what happened a lot was you just took a good team was playing a bad team, either took them to cover or you could take like two or three favorites, parlay them together, and you were able to win money that way.
What's the update on our Jeff Calkins Show poll? We have a Jeff Calkins Show poll. Whom, because it's the target of the object of the subjective sense.
It's the object of the verb. It's the object of the verb.
Whom do you prefer?
I was trying to...
Dylan Brooks or Steven Adams? And the current score is?
Jeff, don't call it a comeback, but we're now only up to 88.9% for Steven Adams and 11.1% for Dylan Brooks. 135 votes.
We did have NFL news yesterday. I'll be honest. So I listened to Jason and John, and I was driving home, and I'm like, Bill Belichick to the Raiders. I'm like, how did we miss this story, Jeffrey? How did we? Because we hadn't talked about Bill Belichick to the Raiders. Chapel Bill.
Chapel Bill, baby.
Bailing out. And the story was gone before it even, they had the fun of talking about it for about an hour.
Uh-huh.
But it was gone before it was
He's not leaving before June. Like, you can tell me that.
Because June is the $10 million buyout.
Yeah.
I guess the idea was, and now what we've heard was, is that Tom Brady reached out to him to pick his brain.
Yeah.
And that was confused as whatever. That was. I think the assumption all along had been that Bill Belichick would have checked the waterfront to see if anyone would be interested in him as an NFL coach.
100%.
And so,
and by the way, Lombardi has said they did that. Lombardi said like that they had reached out through back channels and they did not get positive feedback. So that was part of the let's look for other opportunities.
So that's why it would make no sense.
Correct. Now, if you tell me there's like, because I think he's like casually blackballed. But if you tell me there's one team that's going to go against whatever the NFL has decided, the Raiders would be the one.
Do you have any predictions as to what coaches will end up where currently? You like everyone, like the rest of the world, Mike Vrabel to New England?
Okay, so this becomes a question of what else makes sense for him. I do not see him going to Jacksonville unless Shad Khan says, okay, we'll get rid of Balky. He's not going to go and work with Balky.
You get the sense. I mean, wouldn't Vrabel to the Bears make sense?
Yes, I could also see, though, where he would view the Bears and Patriots as similar situations where maybe the Bears have slightly more talent.
But I also think the Bears have this superstructure that he may not like.
Correct.
The Kevin Warren, Ryan.
And he's going to just sit there and go, I know the crafts. I love the crafts. I'll go do. I'm going over there.
I'm comfortable with the
correct.
Other.
Correct. And you could even, I think it's reasonable to make an argument you'd rather have the Bears job. But infrastructure-wise, which is what he's going to care about.
It makes all the sense in the world. Okay. So you're sending him there. Are you sending Ben Johnson now to Chicago?
There's something about Ben Johnson to Jacksonville that kind of makes more sense. Like, there is this other thing, though, with Ben Johnson that, like, I think we're assuming Ben Johnson's, like, McVay and Shanahan. And I'm not saying that he's not a creative offensive guy. But part of the stuff that he's able to do is because they have such a dominant offensive line that you can sit back and you can have 4 seconds
right
to come up with all these creative concepts. The other two teams don't have that.
I'm really interested in the arc and trajectory of people's careers because, like, Ben Johnson, I was reading his bio recently. He was fired at one point.
Ben Johnson, this is the other thing that gets left out. Ben Johnson had play calling taken away from him by Dan Campbell
Miami. Right, to Dan Campbell. This is when he was in Miami?
No,
this was
the first year in Detroit.
But even Dan Campbell, who's now the hottest guy in the world, the freaking Dolphins, he was the interim head coach in Miami and did not get the job.
Yes.
And then he's widely ridiculed. Joe Brady, who's now hot again, right?
Yep.
Joe Brady was fired once upon a time as an OC.
No, you didn't see what... You got to stick to Josh's.
It's the best thing in the world. Josh Allen...
He's a really boring guy. Nothing to see.
Josh Allen was asked... Joe Brady is, of course, the OC in Buffalo and is
he invented football, according to LSU fans.
Up for various jobs. And Josh Allen was asked what he did for what he's meant to the Bills. And Josh very, and I thought it was, I thought he, this is the kind of candor you want.
Yeah. Nothing.
He said, did nothing. He's done nothing for
at
us.
All.
He's done absolutely nothing for us. Joe Brady feels like New Orleans would make sense for Joe Brady, except for the fact that it feels like Aaron Glenn is going to New Orleans. But obviously, the LSU tie,
sure,
the LSU backdrop. Now, they don't have a quarterback for him to cultivate at this point, but he is certainly, it is funny how
that's,
working
that's
with Josh
job,
Allen.
That's a job I'm not taking.
You just would sit it out. You would be.
Yes.
You would go ahead and be OC and Buffalo for another year and wait for a better job.
Are you telling me the Bills aren't going to reward Joe Brady with a new deal if he stays?
Oh, they give him plenty of money, but still, it's not
and
a head coaching
job. By
the way,
I still got Josh next year.
Still got Josh next year.
And I'm going to have actually a little bit more flexibility. Maybe we could have a couple other tools. Yeah, I'm going to go do that for another year. I think the bigger story that's happened during this coaching carousel, back at the owners' meetings, I believe it was Jerry, presented a PowerPoint or gave a big presentation about the amount of dead money the NFL was spending on fired coaches, fired executives, and whatnot. And what I think always gets left out of the owners' meetings is, like, I give those people credit. When they come and they decide on an agenda, they stick to it. And, like, this year you saw, like, there were a lot of teams that could have gotten rid of people. Like, nobody understands what the Giants are doing, keeping both Shane and Dable.
Giants, Indy, Cleveland.
I mean, the Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Jacksonville. Why is Trent Baalke still employed? Now, I heard an explanation about why Trent Baalke is still employed that I was at least willing to entertain, which is Shad Khan not being a football guy. You need someone to navigate the football process. I would still push back and say, well, why can't you? There are other people you could hire. Like, Trent Baalke has been a disaster everywhere he's been. Why, you can hire other football people to help guide you through the process as a third party.
Last question on the NFL before we take a break. Come back, talk to Chris Harrington.
Oh, I've decided I want Rex Ryan with the Jets because I think it'd be hilarious.
Well, that's the other thing that's happened is we've gotten Pete Carroll. Would you rather have Pete Carroll or Rex Ryan as your head
coach? Pete Carroll.
100%.
Yes.
And people, I see people laughing at the idea of Pete Carroll to the Bears. I do not think it would be the worst thing in the world for Pete Carroll. I mean, for the Bears to hire Pete Carroll.
No, I do think the question is, it's like, how is this different? I guess the difference, like, how's it different than John Fox? Like, well, Pete Carroll did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Seahawks roster that he left was terrible.
No, not at all. It's not like once he left, they've done great things in his absence.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't hate it at all. Last question. I think the Ravens are going to demolish the Steelers. I don't have much doubt about how this will go. But on Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes this one, they were asking this question. Who gets more grief upon losing if they lose this game? Mike Tomlin for the Steelers because they lose in the first round again.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, the world is going to come down on Mike Tomlin for being mediocre Mike. Or Lamar if the Ravens lose.
How is this even a question? It's Lamar by 1,000%.
I 100% agree. And they said, not even a question, Mike Tomlin. It is the stupidest. Mike Tomlin, if he loses, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say
they're not
supposed to be that good. They're not supposed to win the game.
They weren't supposed to
be in the playoffs. He overachieves with a team, and then he hits the ceiling, and that's it. You can't blame it on Mike Tomlin. The notion that, whereas if Lamar, after this season, as a wild favorite with Derrick Henry in the backfield and a number one wide receiver and a record-setting season.
Maybe not Saturday.
Is he out?
Yeah. It depends if you think they're doing gamesmanship, but he's a long shot.
So if you then, and you have always sucked in the playoffs.
Correct.
If you suck again in the playoffs.
It's your regular season.
It is absolutely not even close. I expect him to win. I don't think, but the notion that this is even a conversation seems silly to me. Lamar is going to get absolutely body slammed if they lose that game this weekend.
I don't even understand how this is. Like, I almost wonder if that's just good content.
No, you know what I think it is? I think it's this weird protection of Lamar that's out there. It's just no one seems to want to grapple with the fact.
Yeah, so I think it goes back to the draft.
He has sucked in the playoffs.
I think it goes back to the draft, and you had a lot of idiots that were saying he should be a receiver. And the people that said that, like, they've done the wild 180. And, like, he has a problem in the playoffs.
He has had a problem in the playoffs. That's simply true. It doesn't mean he will this year.
Correct. Doesn't mean he will forever.
But if he does this year,
all of a sudden, like, there's no escaping it.
So the inability of people to grapple with that was stunning to me. We got a Jeff Calkins show poll tonight. Rockets versus Grizzlies at FedEx Forum. The Storm is coming later, ladies and gentlemen, so you can go to this thrilling game if you wish. Grizzlies are a half game behind the Rockets. It is the return of Steven Adams. We got Ja questionable in this game. We also have Dez questionable in this game. We've got Santi questionable in this game. We got Jaren now questionable in this game. But because Steven Adams will be making his return, we asked this question, Jeffrey. Whom do you prefer, Steven Adams or Dylan Brooks? We thought it would be the question was, would Steven Adams get 80% or more of the vote? And right now it is?
88.8% say Steven Adams versus Dylan Brooks.
Holy smokes. All right, Chris Harrington on the other side, then Right of the Right Trivia. It is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.